Faith. Very good. Faith. What's the second word? Freedom. Excellent. What's the third word? Fulfillment. And for us as human beings, we sometimes think that freedom and fulfillment has to do with the physical things around us as opposed to the position of our heart and our soul, where we are in our mind and where we are in our inner being. And so what I want to do is I want to challenge you with something, and I want us to just think about something. And I'm realizing as a church family, especially the world that we live in, that what we're going to talk about this morning and what we're going to discuss is something that I think that we need to be encouraging one another with on a regular basis. So, Christine, you ready? She has so willingly agreed to help me this morning. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7.
By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. So, as a transition this morning, I wanted you to just think about Noah's example to us. Now, obviously, Noah, we don't have like this, you know, visible, like we get to go out and see him building the ark. But we have the example of what we're able to read about and kind of get our hands around. So, what does the scripture say? Noah was a great example to us of he's trying to do something. Imagine his commissioning. Imagine his situation where God is asking him to do something and walk a path that makes absolutely no sense for where the world had been historically up to that point. So he was trying to be something, to experience something that he had not seen, that he had not experienced. But what does it say? There's some beautiful things right in this one verse, and it says this, that he did it because there was a proper level of fear. And yet, the fear was proper because there was faith. So, I don't know in your own personal Bible study, if you've never done word studies before, and for those of you that have done word studies before, you know what I'm talking about? If you take a word, like this morning, we're going to take the word fear. And then what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to go through some verses, and I want you to read out loud. I'm going to ask some of you to read some verses. What I'd like for us to do is just go through Exodus and let's see. Hey, Tom. Where's Tom? Can you grab a mic, and then we can just roll it around? Sorry, I didn't tell you that ahead of time. We're just going to read some verses, and what I want you to do is I want you to see, and what I want us to talk about this morning is that balanced fear. And when you read the Word of God, and when you study the Word, and when you look at fear, there's a balanced fear, because there's a type of fear that we have in our lives that is very debilitating. And that type of fear, improper fear, does not dwell equally on the same plane with faith. And yet, when it comes to a godly fear or a proper fear, that type of fear and reverence or awe actually coincides and fortifies faith and strengthens faith. Now, one of the things that we need to address on a regular basis in our lives is we need to be pursuing godly fear, which is proper fear, and we need to be addressing and letting go of improper fear. So, let me assign some verses. Let's read some real quick. And let's just kind of get a broad perspective on this. Exodus. We're going to start out in the book of Exodus. Exodus, when Moses was leading the children out. Can somebody turn to Exodus chapter 14 and read verse 13? So the first one is Exodus 14, 13. The next one is Exodus 15, 16. Okay? Somebody take 18, 21. So right now, 14, 13. 15, 16, 18, 21, and chapter 20, verse 20. Okay? Chapter 20, verse 20. So I need somebody to read Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. Who's got that?
And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace."
Okay? So he's saying to them, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't be held back. Don't miss what God has got in store for you. And so some of the things that we are going to continue to talk about, and let me just encourage you, as long as we are connected and we know each other, my goal is to continually challenge you to step out by faith. So in order to do that, like Moses said, don't be scared. Don't allow improper fear to hold you back from what you need to experience with God. Okay? The next one, 15, 16.
Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, O Lord, and until the people you bought pass by.
So you see how we're getting a little bit different perspective on fear? And if you read the story of the Exodus, how many times God put fear into other people that were against him or that were going to harm his children, his group of people, that he placed fear upon people. And there's this fear, there's this dread, there's this terror, there's this natural human fear. Now, understand this morning as we read these verses, I'm not going to give a full exposition on the whole concept of fear. But I also want us to learn that as you're studying the Bible, you can do word studies, and even without having a lot of information or background, if you don't have a concordance, if you don't have the internet available, simply going to some of you in the back of your Bible and looking up a word, and then going to all those verses and taking time, it is amazing to see, even in the way the verses are used, the way the word is used in the verse, that you can see a lot of information and different perspectives that the Holy Spirit is going to enlighten you with. Okay? 18 verse 21. All right, who's got 18 verse 21?
But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens.
So do you see the difference, see the comparison between improper fear and proper fear? So one of the qualifications, one of the guidelines, one of the things that was being looked at was, do these leaders have a proper fear, a proper perspective of God? Think about this, okay? Then the last one is 20 verse 20, chapter 20 verse 20. All right.
Travis. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.
Do you like this verse? Don't fear, but fear. I thought this might be a good verse to kind of wrap up this comparison with, because a lot of us think, well, we have this. No, it can. There is proper and there is improper fear. And I love this verse because Moses says, don't be scared, but fear. And in our lives, we have to figure out what that looks like. So, Tyler, I love this, okay? Look at what Tyler's holding. Some of you haven't seen like a real book in years, okay? This is an actual dictionary. They're in the library. I think they're under historic value documents. Okay. The library. It's not Google. This is actually. I love it. How many people? Just Google it. You'll find it. All right. So I want you to hear this is an old school definition, and this is not from Wiki. Okay. This is not a Wikipedia definition. All right. This is an actual dictionary. All right.
So this is from the Random House Dictionary of the English Language, the college edition.
Some of you are having flashbacks right now.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the high school edition. Okay, so fear, a distressing emotion aroused by the impending pain, danger, evil, or by the illusion of such. A specific instance of such a feeling anxiety, solicitude, reverential awe, especially towards God, something of which one is afraid or that causes fright or apprehension.
So you see, even from an English dictionary, we get the different perspectives, the balance of fear. Now, what I want to focus on a little bit this morning is that improper fear that holds you back. Hey, Kevin, can you come up here? Cool. Sandra? Let me see. Nee, 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 nee. Hey, Jesse, can you make it up here? Yo, man, it's your birthday. Oh, yeah. Did you hook me up? Okay, good. Come on up here. Sir, please. Sir. Good. I love the way he walks up here, man. You crack me up. All right. So, let me see. Riley, you're always. Are you good for it this morning?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, man. He's my go-to guy. All right. Josh is staring at me. He's like, okay, it's not going to do any good to look down. Okay. Luke, you want to help me out this morning? Okay, good. All right, cool. All right, so what I want us to think about this morning is those things, and I want you to just ask, those fears. And when you look at fears, there's all different kinds. And fears, these negative, debilitating fears, they can turn into phobias. They can turn into anxieties. And some of us in here understand how phobias and these anxiety levels and these overwhelming fears can affect us. And in no way do I want you to feel anything other than hope and freedom this morning. Because what we all have in common in here is unhealthy fears that hold us back or keep us back. So, some of us, you want to step forward here, big boy? Some of us have things. This is actually fun doing it to him.
Should I pull my pants up?
Nah, man, leave your pants just like that. I already got that lecture, okay? I already made a suggestion, and Derek shot that down. He's like, man, don't mess up the man's boots, okay? And trust me, if there's one scuff on here, you guys think he's quiet, and it's a quiet one you got to watch out for. So what I want you to see this morning and what I want us to just think about is there's all different kinds of fears, and certain fears, those negative, those improper fears, when we give in to those, what they do to us and the way they hold us back affects our faith. Now, certain fears have different impact. He's rolling with me, but you see those lies. You'd have the same eyes if you were up here looking at me like, all right, man, I'm hanging, okay? And this morning, you can fill in the blank on what your fears are. Do you know that nationwide, one of the number one fears now is what? Terror attacks. 10 years ago, when things first started, the anniversary that we just celebrated, 15 years ago, terrorist attacks weren't at the top of people's lists as far as a fear or an anxiety or things that they were struggling with. A fear that has changed over the last 15 years is gang violence. And we could talk about phobias, fear of spiders, snakes. Can I get an amen? All right. Those of you that love reptiles wrapping around your... Okay. And I mean, we could go on. We could talk about the fear of failure. We could talk about the fear of rejection. But what I'm asking you this morning is to consider in different shapes and fashion and different things. Can you hold this?
Sure.
You can keep your hand in your pocket. You may regret it when I'm done. I'm sorry, I got to tell you. I lean over to do this. He goes, my biggest fear is being called up in front of the congregation. Can I get, oh, never mind, you can't do that now. And so what I'm asking you to consider this morning, and listen, some of our fears, what does this bag over here represent for the Sanders carrying? Huh? Not prepared. And isn't it amazing that a lot of our fears, what we do is we incorporate them into our lives so that they can look kind of normal to other people. Now, a lot of these fears that we're representing here, you can see that if I say, hey, Luke, we're going to do the 100-yard dash, you want to, I mean, it may be a little bit difficult because the way he's bound up. Kevin, all right? But for all of us, and in certain things, have greater response. Gary, can you help me? All right, you can stand right here. I love this church family. You know what he said? Shouldn't sit on the end anymore. All right, so Greg is here to help me out this morning. Can you hook him up?
What? I can't put him on.
What?
I can't put him on.
You can't put him on? Here.
Okay, I'm okay.
Here you go.
I can't put him on.
Do me. Wait. Do you have the key? Man. Thank you. Sandra's got the key in her bag. All right, so some of you are enjoying this a lot. Just enjoy the moment, okay? These are not. Okay. So, yes. It's not over my mouth. So, what I want us to think about this morning is certain fears. They're left unchecked. And I'm just saying that just like Moses said, God has a desire for us. God has something that he wants us to experience that is greater and more amazing. But in order for us to do this, we have to take steps of faith. We have to take steps that address this improper fear. Because here's the thing that we all have in common. Most of us in here this morning, in some shape, form, or fashion, something fits what's going on in your life right now. There's something that's keeping you from drawing closer to God. There's something that's keeping you from going deeper with Him. There's something inside of you that is keeping you from taking that next step of freedom, that next step of fulfillment, that next step of faith to where that your heart and your soul are going to ignite inside of you in a way that you never thought possible. So what is it? Don't tell me out loud. Because this has got to be something between you and God. So, I want you to hear some scriptures this morning. Just real quick. I want you to hear some scriptures to encourage us about addressing some of these fears and allowing our belief, our trust, our faith to explode on a greater level inside of us. Tom?
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love him because he first loved us.
A lot of our traditions Now, what I think is awesome is people that come to Jesus that don't have any traditions. And what I find is that a lot of times people say, well, I don't know anything. I was this and all this bad. And you know what my response is? Praise God. Because you're like a clean slate and you get stamped with the blood of Jesus and you start from there. Hallelujah. But a lot of us come here this morning, and as more people are coming and more people are visiting and our outreach is going to be to more people, a lot of our ministry is going to be to people that come in with a lot of religious baggage. And what's difficult for a lot of us that have that religious baggage is sometimes it's more challenging to relearn and to retool and to see things differently. And the power of the verse that Tom just read, the verses that Tom just read, is that for a lot of us, our relationship with God is not focused on His love for us and our love for Him and it being deep relational. It's based on a set of attainment things or what am I going to do to make myself feel better about who I am before Him. And as you mature and as you draw closer to God, there should be this exchange value, like to be able to take that move and that step, and all of a sudden, as Riley is seeking the Lord, and as Riley is spending time with Him, those negative, debilitating fears begin to change. As Luke's heart is more open to the Lord. And as he's seeking the Lord, as that love grows inside of him, it compels him to step out and do things that are mind-boggling that other people say, man, I can't. Because there's a love exchange, there's a faith that's dealing with the negative fear. Does that make sense? Leonard?
Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied.
Can you take his off, Greg? Greg goes, it'll loosen up after a while. Means once his epidermis is gone and it's only bone fragment. Okay? Cool. Can you set Jesse free there? Go ahead, Gary. So do you see what's taking place up here? Brothers and sisters, what the church is supposed to be and what Leonard just read about is we are supposed to be a group of people that are not better than anybody else. We're not superior to anybody else in this region. What we are is sinners, people that have forgiven, people that have been set free, people that are understanding the beauty and the love of relationship with Jesus. And what we're supposed to do is as this negative, debilitating fear subsides in our lives and we're full of love and we're full of faith, that there's this reverence, there's this love, there's this holiness that we experience with God the Father. And it begins to generate within a group of people, and it brings freedom, and there's a holiness, and there's a power, and it spreads.
How many of you have taken one of our church brochures and invited somebody else to the service? What brochure did you take? Okay, picnic thing. But have you taken one of our promo packets to anybody? Anybody know where they are? Anybody ever received one? Has anybody ever seen one? Susan looks at me like, we don't have any. Okay? Who's the weirdo to blame that on? You're supposed to say Gary. Oh, no, Tyler. No, that's good. Tyler and Gary now, and now Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan.
So why am I saying that? Because what it's supposed to be and what we're trying to stay focused on, there's nothing wrong with printed materials. We use printed materials. But can I explain what needs to take place in our lives? Is that what is taking place in Michelle Farmer? And what is taking place in your life, Jonathan? And what is taking place, and I could go person to person, that what is taking place inside of you, there should be an evidence, a reality of the presence of the Spirit of God. And there should be a level of freedom to where it's natural to say, come and see. Come and be a part. Taste. Get a glimpse. Share in this. Healthy things grow. And for us to be healthy, we have to address fears. Now, let me read this one. Romans. Hey, you get my point yet? You know what, though? I bet you if I live like this for 2 or 3 weeks, I get pretty good at making do. You get my point? Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 talks about all of the fact that all of us, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. It's God's work. And in the, at the end of this, it says in verse 18, Romans chapter 3 and verse 18, that there is no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God before their eyes. And for those of you that were with us when we went through 2 Timothy chapter 3 for 3 years, make sure you tell Woody that, okay? Woody is the person that gives me the hardest time about our time in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We have a good time. But what does it say there? That in the last days, when these perilous, difficult times come upon us, and then it goes through, and it says that there is going to be a loss of love for others, and just like it says in Romans chapter 3, there's no fear of God. So what I'm asking you to consider this morning is letting go of those things, whether you've made them such a fabric of your life that it's like breathing. But I'm asking you to let go, and I'm asking you to come alongside of other people. And to help them take steps of faith to live in freedom. None of us, not because we're better, superior, or from a standpoint of condemnation, but from the standpoint of understanding, the standpoint of empathy, the standpoint of love, the standpoint of if there was somebody in here that you had, you knew, and you had a breakthrough cure for cancer, whether it's skin cancer, whether it's internal cancer, brain cancer, and you just put it in a little safe box and put it on your shelf? Then you go to make a visit at the hospital and you happen to go through Martha Jefferson and you go through the oncology section and you walk through and you say, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And yet you know how to help them gain healing and you don't? That's what we're supposed to be as a church. And a lot of people, what they feel from the church is condemnation. Well, I could never meet your standard. You know what I say? Join the club, because none of us can ever meet the standard. That's why Jesus came and died. I'm asking you this morning, on a whole new level, to be what maybe you've never seen. What does that look like for you? Well, I can promise you part of the process is addressing certain fears that are holding you back or restricting you. Look at all these amazing examples this morning. Greg, I love you. I appreciate you. Do you have the keys to freedom for me?
He's on work release.
Hey, Greg, can you bring a broom? Thank you, sir. And you know what? Sometimes it doesn't happen all at once. And I think so many times we have this false idea of what gaining faith and letting go of our fears looks like. So all I want to do is encourage you this morning that if you're in the process, hallelujah, because none of us are perfected yet. None of us are perfect. But if you're even being honest and open and you're being willing to address those things that are holding you back, and what I'm talking about is when you get that nudge and when you feel like and you second guess yourself like, oh my word, really? To do that? Oh my God. And you go through this checklist of why you shouldn't do this, but then there's a part of your heart that's excited, but you're scared to death. And then what we wind up doing is instead of looking at all these, God, would you really want me to do this? Is this a step of faith? Is this something that you want for me? And then we let all these negative, debilitating things put the chains, put the shackles back on, put the handcuffs back on, and try to take us back. Because listen, a lot of us, our default mode, the way that we're wired, is to be overwhelmed by certain fears. And God is saying, I want you to fear me. Some of you, have you thought about the verse? Don't fear the person that can take your life. Anybody have that verse going through your mind? But fear the one who has the power over your eternity and where you're going to reside for forever. I mean, and I could go through, oh, I've got verses, all kinds of other verses, but I've got like 20 or 30 verses that I was reading through and that I would love, but I want you to focus on the reality of us making a choice for faith and love and what that does for us in our walk with God. And then we begin to have a proper fear of God and we begin to let go of some of the fears. Because listen, brothers and sisters, where God is calling us to walk together and what He's asking us to do as a church family, we can't be fear-filled. Some of you, the things that God is going to be asking you to do over the next couple months, you're going to be like, really? Not me? No. Oh, come on now. Yeah. Look around at this group. We're just products of His grace and His love. And it takes time. You know what part of the church is? Letting people in. Letting people help. You know, ministry sometimes is opening yourself up and allowing God to use other people in your life. I didn't have the key to the cuffs. And even though Greg and I are having fun messing around, He helped me be set free. Part of the scary vulnerability of being the church is letting other people in. Would you agree? You letting me in and y'all letting me in. Thank you for helping. You did a great job. Thank you. Because you guys, by your involvement, y'all are proclaiming the profoundness of the lesson this morning. Can you give them a round of applause for putting up with me? All right. Huge blessing. Greg's like, seriously, man. As a sheriff in this county, he said, can you just remind everybody to just relax on the fear of terrorism? Because it's more likely that you're going to die from a car accident or a bee sting right now. So, you know, that's somebody that obviously is dealing with that a lot. So I've said this before. I want you to write it down if you've never heard this before. How do you identify those debilitating fears? Here's an acronym. False evidence that appears real. And for a lot of us, it's difficult to identify that false evidence. And we let it grow inside of us. And I ask people all the time, okay, and I understand certain people have experienced those fears. But for a lot of us, those things that hold us back, what does God want you to do today? What is His plan for you? What does He want you to be like? What does He want you to experience? What does He want you to walk in? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Last week we talked about faith, freedom, and fulfillment. 2 Timothy 1, 7. I love this because Timothy is a man that is stepping out. He's following Paul. He's doing some great things. And he says, and he's trying to encourage him. And as I want to encourage you, and I want to leave this with you this morning, he said, I want to remind you that God has not placed this spirit of timidity, this spirit of fear, this debilitating negative sense of scaredness inside of you. But what He wants for you is love and power and self-control, a sound mind. You want to know why self-control is important? Because false evidence that appears real, it can overwhelm and take control. And just like the Scripture says in Corinthians, that you have to learn to control your mind and take every single thought captive and take it, instead of you being held captive, you have to take those thoughts captive. And most of the time, fear is in here. It's not out here. Now, there's a lot of times where fear is present and very real. Frank, you deal with a lot of those situations. Greg does. There's bad stuff that happens in this world. But for the type of fear that we're talking about this morning and God giving you freedom, it's an inside-out thing. And I just want to remind you that Jesus Christ came and lived and died to give us an abundant life, to give us a life full of freedom, a life where we learn how to address those fears that keep us from drawing closer to Him, listen to me, and reaching out to other people. You know what this world needs? More God-ordained loving touches and loving ministry. People willing to step across that line and say, hey man, I care about you. Hey, can I share with you what Jesus has done for me? Somebody texted me this week. I said, thank you for the encouragement. You know what the man said back to me? I'm learning afresh and anew that when I reach out and minister to other people, what God does for me in return is amazing. Steps of love, steps of faith, overcoming debilitating fear. Make sense? Okay. Hope you got something out of it. If not, you're going to remember these guys, and they are going to make an impression on you for a very long time. All right?